Hello? 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 Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
As we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our conspiracy Santa. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Ari.
And I'm Scott.
And this is Time Pop!
Did we do it? We did it.
Yeah.
I think we did it.
Yeah.
I think we did it. Hello, gang.
Yeah.
Beautiful and handsome as ever.
Hey, hey, hey.
Wow. He really knows how to flatter people. I feel good.
Flattered hosts or happy hosts?
Flattered.
Consider me flattered. What brings us here this evening, Scott?
Oh, I don't know. Aliens, the future, trying to save future selves. It's a little thing we like to call
the tomorrow.
I hope a special effect comes in at that point or something besides the deadening silence. I want like sizzling bacon or alien sounds. Yeah, music.
Dun, dun, dun.
Earth shaking. Should I do it again?
No, I am the master editor. I just realized, as to your text earlier, let's get some information up top. Let's get some facts, if you will, before we get into the fiction of this beautiful story. The Tomorrow War, released in this glorious year of our Lord, 2021, is a PG-13 movie, just like our podcast, at a hellishly 138 minutes, directed by Chris McKay, written by Zach Dean, starring Chris Pratt, Yvonne Strahovski, J.K. Simmons. How bad did I butcher that?
Please join us for our separate podcast where Desmond butchers European, Russian, and Asian name. I think you did fine, actually. It was the struggling that was funny.
Betty Gilpin, Sam Richardson, lots of other wonderful people. We watched a time travel movie this time just to change things up.
What?
And
he's being funny. In the future, he can erase that.
Ari?
Mm-hmm.
The Tomorrow War.
The Tomorrow War.
First thoughts.
It was a movie.
And we're done. Thank you. Join us next week.
Put that on the box. A motion picture was watched.
It was a movie. It was entertaining. You know, it's not winning any awards. It reminded me of Independence Day, you know, like alien.
Oh, wow.
Fighting an alien movie, you know, fighting an alien.
And not only just fighting an alien, but punching an alien in the mouth.
Yeah, there was punching an alien. That's really what reminded me of.
That's very, very. Kelly said the same thing. I think. She was kind of thinking it anyways, and then when the alien got punched in the mouth, she's like, yeah, it's Independence Day again.
It's the same, yeah.
So this is my second time watching it. This was your guys' first?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you watched it a while ago? Is that what you said?
I did. We watched it right when it came out. This is an Amazon original straight, our new version of straight to DVD, straight to VHS, home video, better than it was in the 80s. Some decent films.
Yeah, because it wasn't in theaters, right? This was before theaters opened up.
It was in a weird middle, like it could have.
No, it was during COVID. That was the whole...
You guys saw Tenet in the theaters.
Yeah, that was the first one that they kind of released.
That was a drive-in.
It was a drive-in, yeah.
That was 2020. This movie came out in 2021, like 6 months ago. I was already going to the movie theaters.
Yeah, but it was intended to come out the theaters earlier, I believe. So the
I did
some research.
Okay, talk to me, Scott.
So this film is considered in the list of There's like a list, and it's maybe like 50 movies of the most expensive films to make of all time.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
It cost $200 million. Now, that's the top most expensive film is like one of the crappy Pirates of the Caribbean, like on something land for $325. So you go down the list, and there's like a bunch that share $200 million, but they are still considered in that top list. And this is one of them. And it only made in theaters. It looked like, when you look it up online, it looks like the biggest bomb of all time. $200 million budget made $8 million. But that is because it was during COVID. They said in China, I guess it was able to go to the theaters. So it made the little bit it made. And then Amazon paid $200 million for it to have it, which I guess they just probably like recouped their costs and maybe didn't make a huge profit.
Wow.
It was unfortunate timing, but it was a big budget film. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. I'm wondering how they, you know, if you're looking at if you're trying to calculate a box office, if every time it's played on Amazon, they're just like, that's two tickets? Like, just to try to imagine how many eyes are on it. Now, in the stuff you watched, I saw a little blip, but didn't follow it. A sequel?
Yeah, there's talk. They're working on a sequel.
Really?
Well, so, I mean, the rating system is a whole new ballgame. And so the ratings that they have for this being viewed on Amazon, it was Amazon's most highly, one of its like top three most highly viewed films ever. And they have like a whole Nielsen ratings that go into streaming. And anyway, for that, it did really well. That being said, I'm just thinking about a company that's like, yeah, let's throw out $200 million just for one extra thing to add to our streaming service. But Amazon, I'm sure, can afford that.
Totally.
That's high budget just to have. But, you know, I guess HBO Max was coming out. They feel like they needed to compete and get like a big dog on there.
I don't feel like it was that big of a movie. Like, there were a lot of CGI, but
it was really highly watched when it got released.
No, but why it was so expensive to make?
I was looking at it towards the end. I was like, I don't think that's a soundstage. Like, they went to Iceland and filmed in caves.
Yeah.
Like, the cool thing, the kind of cool thing about this costing so much to me is that, you know, like Pirates of the Caribbean, that cost so much because they gave Johnny Depp $150 million. So that's really only a $200 million.
Yeah, right.
That's
it's like whatever the last one was. I think that's the highest budget one. It was one of the weird ones.
And that's just, they're just paying Johnny Depp to reprise that role one more time. And that's where all the money's going.
Like Endgame is up there. Ultron is the second one. And then you get into like Endgame and Infinity War. But that makes sense. They'll just the salaries.
Yeah, those
alone
are huge.
I found it interesting that a lot of the Pixar films were $200 million.
That makes sense.
Like Toy Story and they, but I mean,
Because with that much.
All the animators.
Yeah. And they have to like just the time too. Like, you know, it takes like all night to crunch, you know, 3 seconds worth of film or something for those movies or something like that.
Yeah.
That's electric bill.
Anyway, they had big plans. They had big plans for this. This was highly budget.
So this was my second time watching it, and I enjoyed it a little more. It was, you know, the first time I watched it, I enjoyed it, but I wasn't quite ready for the 2.5 hour ride. And so when they made it to Iceland, when they went to Russia, I was just like, oh God, just end already. You know, I didn't hate it. I was just done.
Oh yeah. We agree with you with that. When he was going back, we're like, oh, that's the end of the film. And then that's kind of like, no, there's another 40 minutes. And it was misleading.
I enjoyed the extra 40 minutes more this time. I'll get into my big gripe that was saved for my second watch in a minute.
So I was going to say this was a there and back time travel movie.
Where is there, Ari?
There is 30 years in the future. So this movie took place in 2022 and aliens invaded in 2051. So about 30 years.
No.
Pardon?
I think the war started in 2048, and then it took them a couple years to get time travel technology.
Like 3 years, right? To wipe out most of the...
And then at the beginning of the movie, it's 2022, and that's, I think that's 4 years into the war, isn't it?
Right, yeah. They jump 30 years to 2051, but the war, I guess, had been happening for a few years.
Yes.
And before, I guess, the aliens came there, they had already been doing the very beginnings of time travel experiments where they were just sending rats back and forth, they mentioned really quickly. So I guess by the time they really needed it, they had this technology and they just fast-tracked it to be able to go back 30 years.
And they traveled back. They somehow created, they as with most time travel movies, they speed through some of the important stuff just to fool us into thinking it's real. They created basically a wormhole and we're able to use that wormhole to come back 30 years to set up a pole, basically, for time travel. I know that I'm not using the right term. And then, so from there, then on, you can time travel between these two poles that are 30 years apart, but always moving forward.
Yeah, that was really interesting, right? Didn't they say like two like canoes on a river?
Yes.
And then go back and forth only between those, and they're always moving forward. That's really unique, right?
Yeah, I liked that concept, actually. That makes sense. That when they're in the future for a week has passed, you know, in the past.
So this movie starts out just a family doing family things. We're hanging out with Chris Pratt, who's a vet, and it's just the holidays. They're watching
the World Cup final.
The World Cup at Christmas? Is that a thing?
Sure, why not?
It is in this place.
And they're watching the World Cup, and the World Cup gets interrupted by time travelers coming back to notify the planet that they need our help.
It's really interesting. The first time they travel back in time, they don't have that quote unquote raft. They just go and, you know, appear in the middle of that field. So it makes you wonder, well, if they could do that at any point, you know, without the raft being established, why couldn't they go back further? And they even ask that in the movie.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they ask like, well, why didn't you set up more rafts, or why only 30 years? And of course, they skip through it really quickly and say, we had limited resources. We were being, you know, attacked and killed by aliens.
Yeah, they can only set up the one raft.
Yeah, and instead of, I think the first wormhole jump is just totally random, and they couldn't take those random chances anymore. They had to secure their earlier raft and just start doing what they knew they could do successfully, quickly. So then we immediately jump a year in the future right after that, and the wars, they've been taking our people from our time, sending them forward to fight a war. 70% of them die, and it'll seem like at least half of the 30% that come back severely wounded, injured, and obviously with massive PTSD. And then our hero gets drafted, crazy twist, and he has to say goodbye to his daughter, who we've gotten to know a little bit. And so, of course, he jumps to the future, and I'm such a numbskull. It took me, I don't even think I noticed it until she said it in the frigging movie the first time that's his daughter. But if you've ever seen a movie before, of course that's his daughter.
Oh, you mean in the future?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know it until she starts dropping a few lines. I don't think you're supposed to. It's supposed to be a fun little.
Well,
surprise-y.
I mean, it's fun, but as film buffs that we are, you know.
Just like the plot. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, he's going to run into his daughter in the future. But he is set, and this is when we learn, and it's that he is going to die in the next 30 years. And that is what makes him eligible to jump in order to bypass a paradox.
Yeah, that was really interesting how they have to be dead. They cannot come in contact with their future self, which was really interesting. They just kind of snuck that in. It was like, oh, you're dead in 7 years, so you qualify. And the people who were sent back initially were not born yet. They were young enough to where they don't exist yet.
Everyone who comes back is under 30, and everyone who goes forward will die in the next 30 years.
Right. You're looking at the people being drafted and going, and they're all like in their 40s and stuff. It's not what you would usually expect. But by the way, with pretty minimal training, that was kind of a shit show. They kind of like take a bunch of 40, 50-year-olds. They don't tell them anything about what they're going into. They don't even train them in weapons. Like, all right, go do something.
Well, and of course, to keep us, you know, really on edge, the group we jump with loses a week of training,
right,
because of a massive attack on the medical facility in the
true.
Future. Yeah. They were supposed to go on this. Was the Sabbath a Sunday? Was it a true, or when was the Sabbath?
I forget if it was Sunday or Saturday. I forget.
But one day a week, the aliens go to their prayer mats or whatever, and that's when the humans jump back and forth so they can get to the future, take a deep breath, and then prepare to die, basically.
Yeah, they may light some candles, have a nice meal.
They're not lighting any
on their Sabbath
with those creepy little hands.
white spikes.
So we meet the White Spikes, the aliens. What do you think about the White Spikes, Scott?
Oh, I love the band. I celebrate their whole collection. they You know, it's really great that the film, this film plays off a lot of other films, and they kind of play off the Jaws kind of feeling. You keep hearing about how people went to the future and they have PTSD and they die and everyone is freaked the hell out. And you don't, they're like, oh, I just hear the ticking, and you don't see it. There's so much suspense. And then finally you see them. And yeah, they're pretty scary little fuck. It's like if you took from like Alien had like tentacles and could move even quicker and also shoot freaking spikes out of its tentacles, and it can swim and it can fly. It's so it's like the next evolution glide. Of Alien. Yeah.
Glide. They can glide. Yeah. They glide.
They glide.
They're flying squirrels.
But they're so fast, and they can just attack you with the tentacles, or they can shoot spikes, or they can gobble you up with their mouths. Like, they have a lot of weapons and they're really fast, and they're pretty intimidating. It's when they get into battle, it is it's a tough.
They're vicious. Scenario. I don't know why it bothered me, but it bothers me that they seem to have unlimited ammo in their spikes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a little bit of like Predator, a little bit of Aliens, all kinds of things.
Very Predator Alien, especially at the end. Like, that gets into some weird Predator Alien lore that we'll talk about. But yeah, I don't know why, and I feel like as a script writer too, I feel like that's how you give the humans a chance, is that they don't have rapid fire spikes. Like they have to grow them, and then they can, like, you know, shoot them once a day or once a week, and then they've got to regrow that cartilage to fire out of their tentacles. I don't know.
Yeah, it looked like a thing that they just couldn't possibly win. Like, when they go in the future and get in the battle, it had the pace of like World War Z, where it's just constant and it looks hopeless and everything moves really fast.
Well, I mean, it kind of was at the end. You know, they were projecting that humans would be dead in 11 months, you know, when they first.
They seem to know that.
Yeah, well, they could probably know the rate at which people are dying. At one point, they talked about there was only like 3,500,000 people or something.
Something under a million.
The planet population was less than 500,000.
500,000, that's
it. Less than, yeah.
They had a look in their eye, though, that was more than just a math problem. Like, I don't know. I'm sure that's the sequel, but is them going to future. Yeah, so he meets his, he doesn't realize when he lands and that someone from the future is in his ear telling him what to do and where to go and what to get. They go and get some vials from the medical facility. That's what was under attack, and why they ran to the, got sent to the future prematurely, was because it was the last research facility, and they had a potential toxin that would kill the queen, basically. They have found out how to kill the males, but the females are just reproducing like crazy, and the toxin is not hurting them.
I liked how the daughter, the scientist, she had already had a plan formulated. She knew she was going to get this toxin, and she knew that she had to get it back, essentially that her world, her timeline was just done for. It was not going to survive. And so she knew she had to get this toxin back. And so she specifically wanted her dad to be responsible for it, trusted her dad to come to the future, get the toxin and take it back. That just shows you how desperate they are.
Yeah. So for those of you that missed that, they've given up on the future and they're just trying to save the past and send this figure out what the toxin is, send it back. And then when the war starts in 2048, just release this toxin immediately and stop the war before it starts.
And if you think about that, that's a massive, like, mind blank, you know, to know that your entire species on your timeline is extinct, but you on a separate timeline can continue and have a completely different life. To know that your timeline is done, you're toast, but you will continue, or a version of you in a different timeline, to have that concept, to grasp that concept, that's intense.
Yeah. I remember him saying he's going to come back for her. And it's like, well, no, when you go back and change things, there is no her to go back to.
Yeah.
That was my bugaboo after the first watch. Because like I said, I kind of started drifting off, and it's a last second monologue where he basically realizes that, no, this little girl is his daughter, not that woman that died 30 years from now. And it drove me bonkers the first time that he wasn't thinking fourth dimensionally, like like McFly. McFly's never thinking four dimensionally.
If he doesn't go back, there is no future her. If he goes back, there is some version of her that lives.
No, there isn't. Not if it's 30, not unless they build another raft.
No, I'm saying if he goes back and he can stop it from happening, the younger version of her will go on and become a woman.
Oh, right. Yes.
That's
yes.
the only chance, but there's no chance of her living anyway, the older daughter.
But he has that initial instinct to try to save her.
Right,
you know?
Of course.
Yeah. So they develop this toxin that will a big chunk of the movie is basically just them in a lab getting to know each other, and he finds out that he did what his so on the non-time travel side of things, Chris Pratt's father left the family when they were younger, and Chris Pratt always hated him for it. And his dad later tells him that, you know, I came back from Vietnam and I was a fucking wreck, and I would have hurt you and your mother way more had I stuck around. And in the future, Chris Pratt's daughter basically tells Chris Pratt that he does the same thing to his family. Chris Pratt comes back from the future, PTSD'd out, you know, there's no hope for the future, probably just saw his daughter die, and ends up leaving the family and then dying in a car crash.
Wait, what? Saw his daughter die? What are you talking about?
That's not in the same timeline. He doesn't leave the family because he saw his daughter die. It's not a repeating loop.
But what? So in the timeline that she grew up in. Oh, that's right. That's right.
No, he just thought he was meant for more. And then I think he didn't get a job and he got dissatisfied. And they're saying he got depressed and he left the family. And then he just randomly got in a car.
They got a divorce. The relationship probably fell apart. They got a divorce and then he got in a car.
So in the original timeline, he doesn't jump?
Yeah, this one is not a loop. This is an example of there's alternate timelines, but there's a straight linear path. This whole future happened where no one did anything. No one traveled. They were up Schitt's Creek. They sent some people back to get them. And they're hopefully going to change and start a new branch. But it's not a loop where he had done this before.
There's a beginning, Desmond. You love that. There's an initial one. There's an alpha and a beta.
Why?
And I think it's not just one timeline. It's not the kind of thing where, like, let's say he went back before his future daughter died, got them the stuff and fixed the future. It's not like she would just be like, oh, our future's fixed and flowers go around her. I think she helps. That's her future. And I think an alternate timeline branches out from when he goes back and fixes, gets the.
So he's just in the original timeline. He's just mad that he didn't get that job.
Yeah, that they didn't set it up enough. That's what they're trying to. They're setting up how, like, he wanted to do greater things. He didn't get the job. He's so depressed. And she suggests that drove him kind of crazy. He felt very unsatisfied. And that led to their marriage being destroyed. And then she said he left the family. It made it sound like he abandoned them. I don't think, the more you hear about it, it sounds like he just got divorced and then he got a car accident. But they kept that kind of vague. I don't think he was like his dad fully.
But yeah, she really made it seem like, you know, you got divorced and that was it. I never saw you again. And
yeah.
you abandoned us. It's like, well, is that what happened? Or did you just get a divorce?
Right. What would have been more clear? Maybe what would have made more sense if she said, oh, he got his dream job and he had to move across the country for it. And it was to, like, help make the world better, army biology stuff. And that would at least make more sense if he was that ambitious. But she's just like, no, you got divorced and I didn't see you. He didn't seem like he would have done that. Whatever. We'll finish our plot. Then we're going to
come back to that. Cause I swear she says when you came back,
but if you think about it, it doesn't make sense. Right. So she grew up, she wanted to follow in his footsteps. She wanted to be like him.
But if he doesn't,
she wanted to
now.
It's not a loop.
It could be. It could be a broken loop. There could be a couple loops before he figures out, or before she figures out, she needs to stop trying to kill them in the future and send the toxin back. Or there's futures, or there's timelines where she sends the toxin back and he just sits on it for 26 years.
Well, that she wouldn't have been, if it was a one big loop, she wouldn't be better in the future. They wouldn't have had the same issue.
But if he comes back, I mean, he could have, if he came back holding that toxin and couldn't do anything with it for 26 years, that would drive a man crazy and he would be impossible to live with and he would leave his family.
It was like 7 years later, he got in a car accident.
Exactly.
They knew that before he even went into the future.
And then that future happens again because he dies in the car crash and the secret of the toxin dies with him.
But if he is coming back, quote unquote, like you're saying, then everyone would have already known about the aliens. And they didn't know about the aliens. They didn't know where they came from until 48 and they were looking for them. They don't know where they landed. But if he had come back, quote unquote, with the toxin and then died 7 years later, they would have known of the aliens.
Well, they did know of the alien.
Not the first time through.
No, it's not a loop.
It's not a loop.
It's a rare example of a not loop. And I think it's only splintering realities if he changes something. She was not like, oh, you'll go back, you'll be fixed, and I'll be fine. Their timeline was done.
Yeah, it's two timelines. They splinter once.
That's what's sad. She kind of really was dying, and he's helping his younger daughter become a new woman. But that original one is...
The minute they went back in time, it split the timeline into two.
I think this is part of the podcast. There's always some part of the podcast where Ari and I say something about the future that Desmond thought was something different, and then his mind's kind of blown, and then he's like, got to digest it while we're here live.
Well, then if we're going with multiple timelines, like, doesn't it... Then there's way more than two, isn't there?
Well, we're not saying multiple timeline. We're saying there was one straight one. If he goes back and they use the toxin, it will just form a new future, but it won't affect the one future she was in.
So think about it this way. The minute that the future, what did they call it? Time link.
Yeah.
What was the device called? The time link. As soon as that disappeared, it's their present is a new timeline.
Yeah. And there's no going back.
Oh, right. Right.
There's no more time traveling. It got destroyed.
Right.
So you could say that, you know, the whole movie is on one timeline, right? They're staying within that one timeline. But the minute that he went back and the link got severed, it's a brand new timeline.
People out there, send your answers to timepoppod@gmail.com. That's timepoppod@gmail.com. Tell me, how many timelines are there in the Tomorrow War? Oh, my God.
All right, let's finish. We haven't even finished the whole synopsis.
Go for it, Scott. Bring us in.
Oh,
reel
crap.
Us in.
All right. He's in the past. He's trying to figure out some stuff. He's actually talking to his wife because he's pretty depressed about it. And they're trying to figure out. They said the aliens just seemed like they just showed up one day. And then they kind of deduce that the aliens were there earlier.
Wait, can we pause? Can we pause before that? Can we talk a little bit more about the actual traveling before we get to the...
Oh, you want to talk about time travel, Ari?
Yeah.
Fine, waste our time with time travel.
So just the way that they travel is a machine, right? There are all the different ways that you can travel. So they built a machine that creates a wormhole. And between the two quote-unquote rafts, what the machine does is, what it looked like to me was turn people into light. You know how they kind of stretched out and turned into like kind of little rainbow lines?
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. They kind of were turned into light particles and were shot through this wormhole, which is, you know, a concept.
And they were able to do large, massive groups of people at once, which was
a lot
very
of information. Yeah. So if you could be turned into light information and then reassembled on the other side, that could be a way to travel. So I thought that was pretty cool.
And it sucked people up. And of course, our heroes, something goes horribly wrong, but it sucks people up and then it brings them back down. And the sucker upper kind of starts to disassemble you, you know, 10 or 20 feet in the air. And so when you get reassembled and come down, you refall that distance.
Yeah. Well, so they said that you're going to land at a specific place. So this is both time and space that this time travels.
I was going to bring that up in the loopholes.
Oh, sorry.
Oh. It's okay. We can do it.
We can come back to it. But you can travel time and space of theirs. You know, they can specify where you're going to land. Yeah. They had a malfunction with, you know, them landing. And that's probably why they were so much higher up.
Do they they do specify it because, they were going.
Did they say that? That's what I was wondering, because I was like, how are they in Miami Beach? They didn't take off there. And I, you know, that's a big loophole with us of when they just say it's time, but why are they in a different location?
So it's time and space. So that they were able.
I guess if it's a wormhole, you can do that.
Yeah. So they were able to open up the exit of the wormhole in Miami atop the exact building that they wanted to be, but it malfunctioned and they were higher up and everyone fell, and I'm sure a lot of people died.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing that I thought was interesting, so for them to enter this wormhole to go to the future, they were all in a very specific room, right? You know, below the machine, right? Those big electric machines above them. But when they were sucked back to the past, they could do it from anywhere with that device on their arm.
That's right.
Which is... you know, convenient for the story, but also like,
Oh, there was a lot that was convenient for the story. We'll get into that a bit later.
we're gonna blow this up. Scotty, race us to the finish.
All right. Speaking of convenient for the story, it just so happens that one of his fellows, who's also a science dude, has a student who's a volcano expert, and they're trying to figure out, he's studying a tooth that he brought back from the White Spikes. I mean, a white spike from the White Spikes. And they're trying to find out how a volcano from, was it from China found, was found in
found
Russia?
Ash on the claw of one of the White Spikes. And they said, why would there be ash on this when they landed, quote unquote, in Russia? Why would there be ash from a volcano in China? And they asked the kid scientist guy, go ahead.
The volcano expert.
Child. The high school volcano expert.
How convenient.
How convenient.
And he said it was because of the global eruption or whatever he called it. Massive volcano.
Millennium eruption.
Millennial.
In 946 AD.
So, which would spew ash all over the world. So they went, well, why did they dig down 1,000 feet to get to this ash? And then they went, oh, wait, they didn't dig down. They dug up.
What? They've been frozen forever in the planet.
Well, first of all, we destroyed the planet and melted the polar ice cap, making it an easy climb for them.
Yeah.
Actually, yes. Can we just reiterate that one more time? Supposedly, they were trapped under the ice for the next 30 years until global warming melted the ice, thus releasing the aliens. Please remember that. Continue, Scott.
No, for the next, and let's just fix this, for the next 3,000 years.
Right.
And I just realized it's exactly 3,000 years. How convenient. Or 2,000 years.
They're able to pinpoint where to find these. Pardon my French. They decide to go to the military and show their findings. The military is like, yeah, I don't know. That's a lot of money to throw at this. No, thank you.
Is it an act? They just talk to a dude. Like, they don't, like, take it to...
Yeah. Talk to one dude.
Well, because someone complains that, like, do we really want the UN to argue about what to do with this toxin for the next 30 years? Or do we want to just march in there and take care of this?
So, yeah, they don't take them seriously. The government says, no, we're not going to help. And then here's some more convenience. Conveniently, hey, my dad is this rogue hates the government guy. Oh, yeah, he's got a giant plane. Oh, yeah, he's a pilot. I'm going to take my rogue group of friends. We're going to handle it ourselves. Oh, yeah, we've got all this weaponry. Oh, yeah, we've got the clothing and the experience to handle the Arctic. And we've got all this equipment and stuff on our own. No problem. And our plane will fly in without any detection. So we'll get in all this later.
With snowmobiles.
You got to be trained to know how to navigate that kind of terrain. Whatever. We'll get into that later. They make their way into the Arctic. They go down deep into the ice. And they walk around in this old spaceship that looks like...
No, their sensors detect magnetic disturbances. Right. And they look and see like a big divot in the snow. And they're like, this must be it. So they blow a hole in the snow, which creates this perfect cave.
Perfect path.
To the entrance of, you know, the spaceship.
Which is enough dynamite that would take about 4 days to lay all that dynamite.
And they don't blow up the ship. They just perfectly blow up everything around the ship to make a nice pathway. To go in the ship where it seems like the temperature seems pretty okay there. Everything seems to be working. There's some aliens in stasis, whatever. They start stabbing some of them with the toxin.
No. What's the first thing they learn, Scott? Are these the aliens that actually flew to our planet?
The plane crashed. The pilots of the plane, who don't look like the White Spikers. I must call them White Walkers.
They were the males, right?
They were different.
This was
humanoid, sort of looks like them.
Oh, the pilots, right.
Pilots of the, and they were in like gooey stasis pods.
The white spikes were in gooey.
Perfectly lit from within.
They were cargo weaponry. So, it's totally like aliens in that respect.
Yeah. But so it's supposedly freezing cold there, right? So cold that these aliens were still frozen and haven't thawed yet to escape, but yet there's plenty of space within the spaceship, and the goo that these aliens are suspended in is still liquid, and I guess the power is still on in there because they've got lights to see, and they stab one of the pods, which has a membrane. It's not behind glass, it's just like a membrane, like, you know, like a baby in a sack. What's that called?
It's an embryo.
An embryo. That's the word. Thank you.
Baby in a sack.
We got sack babies.
So they stab through this embryo type of sack, and, you know, one of them dissolves and disintegrates, and then it all wakes up the rest of them. So here's my problem. Yeah. Supposedly they were frozen, still supposed to be frozen for another 30 years. but yet they were perfectly capable of waking up now by just one of their friends dying. That's a big hole for the story.
Well, yeah. Also the fact that there's 10 of them and they just like stab a few casually and they're talking about it. They're even looking when it starts waking up. Like, just go stab all those quickly while you can.
Yeah.
It's a poor judge.
Yeah, there's like 10 or 15 tops and they need to just be like rapid fire. That wasn't, yeah. I don't know, as far as homeostasis, space, light travel, technology, power sources, that hole was the least of my problems.
Right, sure.
Anyway,
so yeah, so they battle these, and I think these are mostly the males that they're battling with.
Yeah.
They split up into groups. Eventually, the one toughened guy that's done three tours, he's going to die anyway. He takes his life to blow everything up with the males, but the female,
one female,
escaped. And now it's up to our hero and his dad and his buddy. And then what ensues is, you know, a crazy battle. They've like shot their wad. They don't have that much. They're trying to still shoot this thing with bullets, which is totally pointless. I guess their weakness is their belly, but you have to waste a lot of ammo. And trying to make this quickly, unless you guys want to add to it, there's a showdown. And after much trial and tribulation and near-death experiences, he jams the toxin right into the mouth of the mom, blows it up, and we live to fight another day.
Woohoo!
All right.
Yeah, the very last 30 minutes of the movie was kind of unnecessary and full of plot holes. And yeah. I mean, do you think that the movie could have been fine just ending the way, you know, when he brings back the toxin and he hugs his daughter? Could that have been a good ending?
Especially if they want a sequel, that could have been the whole, well, now we've got a fighting chance, but the future is still unknown.
Yeah.
It didn't have to be wrapped up in a pretty bow.
Yeah.
It could have been.
Or you even could have like shot, you know, 30 years in the future, you know, now the dad who lost his job and got depressed and tore the family apart. Now he's had a purpose for the next 30 years was to be ready for this quote unquote attack. You know, that could have been the ending, and then he's ready and they discover it. But yeah, the whole fight in the snow was just unnecessary.
Yeah. And then he makes his way back and he's saying stuff like, now that he knows his future, he's like, I'm not going to leave this family. And I was like, well, you know, I mean, you could like, if you, the marriage doesn't work out, you can get divorced, but like, you should stand by your daughter's side. Like, you don't have to abandon your daughter, but he made it like, I'm not going to abandon this family. And it's, you know, the marriage doesn't work out, dude. You got to do it together. Maybe I'm biased.
You can still see your kids 50% of the time.
You can still be there for your kids. So there's a lot. So that was just the snot. We have a lot to talk about.
So real quick, I just want to say, I didn't mind the snow battle. The whole movie was too long, so something else had to go. It's like either A, you're doing an all-action movie, and you can cut out some of the daughter stuff, and we can still understand like that you love your daughter, and we can cut 15 minutes out of that and still have this end battle. But I also think you're right, too. Like, if you're already thinking sequel, like, you might have just blew your load on the sequel. So, it's weird for me. I keep on checking myself because I can't believe I'm saying that I enjoyed a 2.5 hour movie more the second time. But I think I did. And
does it really upset you when a movie is that long? Do you just feel like that's too much demand on your time? Is the perfect film 90 minutes?
I love to rewatch movies. Especially if I like it, I definitely want to rewatch it. And that 2 hour mark is a huge... huge bridge to jump over when I'm like, do I want to rewatch this for what's probably going to be 3 hours?
It makes it not as it's not as casual a watch. It's like a commitment.
Yeah. And so I
did you get angry at Tenet?
I'm not going to watch that movie as many times as I might. Like, Tenet is a movie I'd love to watch every week for a little while to figure it out, but I can't clear that time.
Bigger stories need to, like, Interstellar was pretty long too, right? It needs time to tell this story. I mean, I guess you don't need 40 minutes of the dust engulfing the planet, but.
And they're great. Like, I don't hate long movies. I think they're amazing watches. I think most of them are long for a reason, but it does bum me out that it's going to be one and done maybe for me, which means I'm probably not going to get it. Because they're all so good. Long movies are good and intricate, and there's twists and turns and things you miss, and. God forbid you go to the bathroom. God forbid in 2.5 hours you go to the bathroom.
Yeah, that's why you don't like it. You got too many pee breaks.
Exactly.
So do we want to talk about, do we want to do Ari's science corner first before we talk about our feelings and the loopholes?
Yes.
Is it Ari's science corner and Scott's feelings corner?
After that, I'm going to talk about some feelings.
I think I pretty much talked about most of the things. There's not too much in this. You know, it is just kind of a there and back travel movie. I thought it was interesting how the people who traveled back in time are stuck there. That was interesting, because once the link was severed, all those people who are from the future get to relive, you know, the past, essentially. Yeah. It'll be different, you know, because they've changed things, but...
Well, and they're not even born yet. Like, they're...
They may never get born.
Yeah. Yeah, their parents...
That's a good question. Would, you know, their parents are probably still alive. They're going to meet their parents, you know, 30 years younger. Would they be born again? Would they...
What if their dad died in the war and your mom's still alive and you're the only hope of your existence?
I love this idea when we talk about there's time of actually, like, say, the timeline. And then there's like the time of your life, like someone who's 30 who lived in the future and came back, but their life is continuing on their own personal timeline. And the idea that this, let's say, 23-year-old from the future from 30 years now is in the past. Maybe the future self never gets born now that things have changed. Do they still exist? Because they already exist, do they remain existing? Or because they were never born in the future, do they disappear in the past?
But the future that they were born in doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
So, but they already got...
But they exist.
But they exist. They're atoms, they're molecules. Right. They take
up... Once you exist.
You exist, you go into the past. If your future self is... never born, when you go backwards like that and it's a new timeline, you're just
an anomaly.
You don't just disappear.
We are erasing, unfortunately, the Back to the Future philosophy.
Yes.
You just did.
Yep. Because I was talking with Kelly about that last night. If this was a different time travel movie, as soon as you kill that last mother alien in Russia, you're the only five people on the planet that ever know this ever happened. You know, like everything just goes doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
This is right. Not a ripple effect.
Yes, yes.
So for those of you that don't know, a ripple effect is when it is one timeline and you change something in the past, it ripples forward and changes the future according to that change in the past. So like butterfly effect was a ripple effect.
Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Back to the Future, right. So because this is a completely separate timeline, there is no ripple effect.
It's not like if he left the future before she had died and he fixed it, it's not like you would cut to the future and she's there and all of a sudden where the angry aliens are, flowers are up and works at a bed and breakfast. Like it wouldn't.
And they make all of the people from the future that we met blow up in the spaceship. So like, cause they take some future people with them.
Oh, do they all die?
Does who all die?
Do they all go with him?
Who? See,
I keep cutting off.
It's okay. I don't think all of them, cause there has to be hundreds.
So can I explain to Scott what you're talking about? So a bunch of the people who came to the past, the young people,
yeah,
they helped out on the mission and they were all still inside that spaceship when it blew up. So that could have been a nice little tidy way to wrap up that paradox, although it's not really a paradox because they could have survived and lived a life. They may have met themselves being born again. When they blew up, so the spaceship, remember they like, there's a whole cargo down here and they came across the room that was just filled with them.
Yeah.
So they blew the whole thing up.
Oh, yeah.
So they were in there when it blew up. They didn't escape.
Future people.
Yeah. They're the whole, out of the whole crew.
Just the small crew they had.
Yeah.
Except for his homie and his dad.
Yeah. Right. So out of all the whole crew, only three of them survived.
Yes.
So my question is, was that all of the people that got left behind from the future, or was that only some of them?
They didn't have that bigger group when they went to the Arctic.
It was like eight people.
Yeah.
10 people.
There was a few. Yeah.
And yeah. And I don't know. Cause if you think like, do we think that the people that came back during the soccer game, that's the only future people that ever come back? Is that what we think?
That's what I assumed. Probably. Yeah.
So there's only 2025. So
anything else for the sciences?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's all, you know, we talked about how, what it looked like when it jumped and the device. I think that's all for Ari's science corner.
This is still a little bit sciencey, but I think just to wrap it up, like, yeah, everyone is on. No, we covered it. We covered the ripple effect. I'm good.
All right. I got feelings.
feelings.
There's feelings.
Misty watercolor feelings.
But here's the first thing. I always talk about, like, I like films that are unique, that have a unique sense of time travel, right? 70% of these films is like, oh, we have some way to travel in the past. We think it's a good idea. We mess things up. We fix it. It's over. This is a really unique premise, that this idea that 30 years in the future, everything's screwed. And so we're sending people from the present to fix a possible future. And it makes me think about time travel ethics, you know, which is nothing that comes up. But like this idea that, like, I'm going to send my dad or my daughter or whoever, or myself, to fight a war that's 30 years in the future that, like, hasn't even happened yet. And what do I have to owe to this future that may not even happen? This is something that, this is like, you know, for all they know about time travel, that may happen. And yet this responsibility where these people are going off and dying, like, and also, like, what if I'm not going to die for 10 years, but I go and fight this now and I don't even get to have those 10 years with my kids and family for this thing that's 30 years from now and I have to fight that? Like, so that is a really interesting, again, I think about ethics and time travel.
And how does that make you feel, Scott?
I don't know how it makes you feel. It makes me feel confused, sad. It's a really interesting conundrum. I don't know what I would do, but that question has never been posed in a film before, of fighting a war that is for something that's happening 30 years from now, potentially.
Yeah.
It may not even happen. And you're going to lose the last years of your life if you have another solid 10 years to go fight in this thing for a potential future.
Well, and if you spent the next 30 years training 8 billion people, wouldn't that serve your purpose better than going and saving a world that's already decimated?
Yeah, totally.
You know, whether you have the toxin or not.
Like, what ethics do you have to go to the past and make them all die and not even get to enjoy their last final years? It's very questionable. I mean, whatever, you could say the draft itself is questionable, like Vietnam. We could get into that and how that compares with the future time war. But at least that's happening in your present. I would be surprised if more people wouldn't run. So anyway, I thought that was, once that happened, I just kind of was like, oh, this is unique. This is a lot more interesting a film than I thought.
Did we get a head count on who was left in 2022?
Who was left in terms of the people?
How many people? Like, is there like 4 billion, 3 billion? Oh, they said half. No, they said half, because those are the half, because they said half of the population is eligible for time travel. And that's basically just the half of the population that will be dead in the next 30 years. So,
which they find out, right?
So
that was cool. You know, what's not cool, and this might get into loopholes, is everything that we've talked about, this level of all the conveniences that happen. Like our hero, who happens to be a Green Beret and also a biology teacher. Oh, how convenient. Oh, and my dad is a pilot with all this, like everything. And my friend has a student who's a volcano expert. Like everything just.
But if you,
I love master biologist and military guy.
But if you like. If you watch documentaries about survivors of crazy things, like, it takes luck like this to get through it. Like, you know, the guy that survives the bombing was the guy that accidentally got trapped under the pile of dead bodies, you know? And it's like, no, you're
right. That's how it happens. I just love that he's in the same body as like this master biologist and also like the best Green Beret the military's ever seen. And like, oh, and now he teaches. Middle school, but secretly he's the best army guy you could ever hope for.
And he's,
you
know, a loving father. And based on the look on his wife's face, he's a master at cunnilingus. I mean, how can one person have so many gifts?
She seems very pleased. But, you know, who knows? Under the surface, there's something buzzing. And that's why they get the divorce 10, 7 years from now. Maybe he's trying to do that alphabet thing. And that's just ridiculous.
He's a
Let's move forward. So
real quick. I remember the science thing I wanted to get back to. So I think, or were you going to already talk about loopholes? Because maybe I'm talking loopholes instead.
Go for it, Des.
So they seem to say at the beginning that you need to jump between these two poles. And maybe they just mean these two timelines. Because, like you said, the armband. So when they jump, audience, they jump with a 168-hour clock on their wrist. Exactly 1 week. And when that timer goes off, they're gone. Wherever they are on the planet, they're just back.
I mean, yeah, that's a hole. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
But that's the thing about...
Well, it's only a hole because they didn't... Like, they could have easily talked their way out of that hole, but instead, they seem to mention specifically that you have to travel between these two poles, but never mind.
And it is one timeline until they make a change. That is one timeline that has the two poles, the two canoes going down the river. Once they make a change, then yes, then maybe a branch happens.
Is it though? I mean, if there are people in the future and you're killing their parents Is it still one timeline?
There's people in the future.
You mean what we were talking about before? About like if you're back in the past and the future you isn't going to exist. It's one timeline that has the two canoes.
So my understanding of timelines is based on all the movies that we've seen and all the things I've read, is as soon as you travel back, you're creating a new timeline. So because new information has been given to these people, there's aliens in the future. So it is different. It has changed. The minute you travel back, it's a new timeline. And no matter
back to the past.
And when soon as you go back to the past, you've created a new timeline. Because new information, things are going to be different, right? So, and that is now going through a different series of events.
So every week, every Sabbath, there's a branch.
No. So the way that I understood it, because the people from the present are going to the future. When you're going to the future, it's not a new branch, not necessarily, unless you decide.
But every week they come back to every week, 1,000 people go forward and every week, 50 people come back.
Right. But when they go forward, you technically could theoretically be traveling on that same timeline.
Right. That timeline hasn't been changed.
So it's unusual because you could think of it as jumping timelines. Remember we used to talk about jumping timelines?
Yes.
So
yes.
So based on that theory, yes, a lot of the theories support that as soon as you travel back, you've split it and created a new timeline. But in this one, I think I understand it as you don't create that extra timeline until you sever the connection to the future. Because they are going back and forth, technically, right? So,
but if you're always bringing back new,
he's bringing up a good point. There's the original timeline that happened to get to where they are. Now they've come back to the past. Once they've said that, that has changed a whole lot about how people live their lives in some of those years.
Yeah.
So it is a different world once they came back.
And there is no ripple effect. So all these people are now, they know about the war, people are dying. But the future is still the way it is. There is no ripple effect.
So it's just that first wormhole that they rip when they first appear
in the soccer game
on the soccer field. That's when the timeline splits and it doesn't.
Theoretically, that is when it split. But them going to the future
of the original timeline
means they could be jumping timelines, or you can think of it as it's all still one timeline until that connection gets severed. And then it's a brand new timeline because the future is going to be different.
Yeah, I'm with that. Because they're setting up the thing that they are affecting their personal future in this. And they're just almost like the timeline is one timeline, but it's malleable. And if they've gone back and changed it, then that's just this timeline and it's being changed. That's what they're suggesting. And because, they're going back to that. Yeah, I think you're right. And then once that's severed.
It's an interesting concept. I don't know if it's been done before.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a movie or a story where they go back in time and bring people to the future to try to help them, but they're unsuccessful, thus creating a different timeline for the people in the past or in the present.
That's what we got to take. This is unique. I have not seen this. And that gives this some value. And that whole, the canoe theory also, we've never seen that. That's pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
Where they've established these two rafts, but they continue to move forward in time.
Yeah, the river.
Do you think Chris Pratt can find the little man in the canoe?
PG-13.
I thought this was PG-13.
PG-13. The convenience stuff, I have a lot of problems with. And again, the end, the military doesn't believe them. And so his dad,
again, it's not the military. He asks one dude and one dude.
Yeah, he's a head dude, but yes.
Well, yeah. And
reason for that was the world is in chaos. The people are fighting and people are freaking out. And I mean, just that fact has changed the timeline.
I get it. But he could have said, look, the world's in chaos. Not officially, but unofficially, I'm going to give you all these weapons. I'll give you a plane, but you didn't get it from me. But he says no. But somehow these guys all get on a plane undetected. They've got all like the winter gear for the Arctic. They know their way around the Arctic, which is hard. And they've got the snowmobiles and they've got weapons. And I don't know where that all came from. Where's that budget?
Well, and I think there's a believable version of that, but not in 35 minutes. You know, to cram, like you said, if that's the second movie, then
in a sequel,
then why not?
Should have ended with him coming back, kissing his daughter,
and that's it,
and saying,
"I've got purpose.
I've got my purpose, and it's keeping you alive. And now I'm gonna go make it happen. And he's running off. He's finally got his purpose. And there he goes, and his daughter and his wife's with him and whatever.
The end.
He starts training his daughter to become the woman she's going to be or something. She'll be the next Batman. And they go off.
So I got to all of my notes. Strangely enough, the only note I didn't get to was that female white spike capture scene was awesome. I just enjoyed that as an action sequence that made me very happy.
Yeah, it was intense. Wait, there's one other thing I want to bring up that I thought was a cool thought, you know, and again, we talk about time travel ethic.
Yeah.
His daughter is upset at him. He comes back. She's kind of distant at first, and she tells a story about how he abandoned them. And this thing where you can be upset at someone for something they haven't done yet. And it's this like, it's got, when you put time travel relationships, he's going to do it, but he hasn't done it. And anything could happen between that. He's not responsible for what he hasn't done yet, even though you think he's going to do it anyway, but you're mad at him like that, as opposed to taking him as the guy before he did that. And so I don't know. I still find that it's almost like, for me, connected in the same idea of, are you responsible for what happens in 30 years? It makes me think of Minority Report, of capturing someone from a crime before they did it, because you know they're going to do it, but they have not officially done it.
Yeah, and this movie definitely just, you know, they start out with what seems like kind of your usual time travel rules. Like, we can't talk about what happened because then it won't happen. And then 5 minutes later, she's just like, this is what happened. Which,
yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't tell you. You did this. You did this. Yeah. He's like, but I didn't do it yet. I won't. I guess I will. You know, in this moment right now, I would never do that to you. That's a difficult situation.
I need to know if in the original timeline, she's talking about him coming back from the future war, from the tomorrow war, or if she's talking about him just not getting a job. Because in the timeline, in the science-y part of it, I guess it makes sense that he's not talking about the war. But I don't see this guy leaving his family, because...
Yeah, that, it's hard to believe that they don't set up... They're trying to set up how much he wants to do something bigger and how disappointed he was with that job. But he seems like too good a guy. But that is what they're suggesting. They get really vague with that part, which is a problem. They should have been more specific. They also just made it sound like he abandoned them by getting divorced and stuff. He's like, I'm not going to leave this family.
Oh, I forgot. Oh, here, real quick. I can't believe we just talked for an hour when I could have summed this movie up in one sentence, thanks to IMDb. A family man is drafted to fight in a future war where the fate of humanity relies on his ability to confront the past. Boom. Done. We did it. The Tomorrow War. So...
It was originally going to be called, it was originally called something like Go Tomorrow Ghost or Ghost War or something like that. And then apparently they changed it because you're not allowed in China to talk about zombies or ghosts in films. I thought that was a fun fact. The film changed its name to ensure Chinese release due to the country having banned several films about ghosts and zombies.
God bless China.
That's how they got their 8 million, was because of China, because they put it out in theaters.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, if you're talking about you getting drafted, you know, the word choice taken out of it. I think it's too easy to just say if time travel existed in this fashion, you'd use it. I think we would all say yes.
Oh, that's the weird question. Time travel was never for pleasure in this film.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, if you're drafted, you're saying, would you run or not? But it sounds like running is kind of pointless.
I don't want to talk about that. Yeah, because I'm trying to take the draft out of it. Because, you know, if there's a gun to your head, then of course you're going to time travel this way.
Otherwise, would you risk your life to go save a possible future?
No, no. No.
You wouldn't, Desmond?
Let me just put it here. Here we go. Here's the easy way to say it. If you could go ahead 30 years for a week, would you?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. But I'm still in this thing of like, would I, let's say I have children, right? If I know they're not going to have a full life, would I go to the future to make sure they preserve a life? Or would I try to spend, you know, 10, 20 years more with them? I mean, that's pretty, you know, you talk about people that like have 6 months to live or whatever. If you, someone said, hey, you've got 10, 15 years to live, that's pretty reasonable to do stuff with it. And so it's debate. Would you rather spend that time with your kids to they get to know their parent and be there with them? Or do you try to leave them but go in the future so they can have a longer life, and which is more valuable?
But if their life was going to end in,
right,
you know, 25 years, 30 years, but you would get a good 15 with them.
And even for them to be parentless all those years, or to have a longer life, which is better, which is valuable.
So you're saying that you go to the future to try to save them, but you don't make it back?
Would you, knowing that there's a 30% chance of survival, to go out to possibly, not definitely, possibly help their lives be extended, but but they're not going to have a parent in growing up their whole life. Or do you stay to have, you know, you're going to die in 10 years, but you have 10 years that you can stay and have a.
If I'm president of the world, I'm definitely voting to put all of our research into now and spending the next 30 years preparing for this instead of decimating us. Most likely, and then having no information and half the population.
Yeah. By the way, we were talking about the training before. They ask, what do the aliens look like? Oh, we don't show it to people because then they wouldn't go in the future to fight them. So you are being sent, even with their training, they're going to be sent without knowing what this alien looks like, not how to fight it properly because they'll get too scared. And just saying that statement.
And it's been a year at this point, and there's no YouTube leaks. There's no, I mean, not even video. I'm just talking about people talking about it. You know, what you're.
You got to train people really well to fight. These things are fast. You got to tell them about to shoot for the stomach. You need endless amounts of ammo because you have to shoot so much. And you better be a good marksman.
Well, and the loophole in that, God, I just saw it again. You know what made me so excited in this movie was watching them drop their rifle and go for their handgun. Like,
yeah, I know. I was like, oh, you're fucked. If you had to go to that, you are screwed already.
But just how quickly they did it, like when they run out of ammo and they just immediately go for their sidearms, they can keep shooting something.
Yeah.
Was impressive. So
you're trying to put in a bow? It's interesting. It's a unique film.
This movie, that was the other thing too. When I first watched it, I was like, I think this is a good movie, but I need to talk about it. And this is a weird one where we got to be done because we've hit all of our bullet points. But
it's unique. It gives us something to chew on. We have not seen a film like this where you have to decide to send people from the past in the future to fight a thing that may happen in 30 years. Very unique.
Yeah,
it's cool.
And I don't like that you're poking all the holes in just the action movie side of it too. That was my one thing to hold on to. But now. Now they're poorly trained. They're an unbelievable group of heroes. I don't know. The Tomorrow War. Again, I really enjoyed the ride. Like, would you make this a time pop recommendation, or are you just like, eh?
As far as time travel goes, I would recommend it.
Yeah.
It's got some interesting concepts, some original concepts. As far as movie goes, I mean, if it's free on Amazon, sure, why not?
Wow. Both of you should do the taglines for the film. The Tomorrow War. It's a movie. The Tomorrow War. If it's free, you might as well.
Why not?
If it's a unique, again, we probably have like 10 films that have taken like a really unique, like, let us think about it, and this could fit in there. So yeah,
I say I love a good action movie. I time travel or not, I would throw down $10 to watch this movie in the theater. Like, I'm bummed I didn't see this movie in the theater. Like, I would love to see this large and loud. And the time travel is only good if you pair it with this podcast to help you unravel it. So everyone out there, you're welcome. We make the Tomorrow War's time travel awesome. Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm Ariel Galah.
And I'm Scott Lipton.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Time Pop. Please tune in next time for another exciting time travel adventure with Ari, Scott, and Dez. If you have questions or comments or film recommendations, please send us an email at timepoppod@gmail.com. That's timepoppod@gmail.com. If you would like to check out some other podcasts, we have another TV show-based podcast where Justin and Dez talk about the new hit Amazon show, The Wheel of Time. It is called Thank the Light. Please check that out. We have done our after-show summaries, and we will be doing some off-season deep dives. Please get into that and join the conversation at Thank the Light. Are you spiritual? Do you like fart jokes? Check out All the Answers with Katie and Cassidy. You have questions? They have answers. Tune in to All the Answers to give your spirituality humor bone a rub. Need a little more real world, three-dimensional fix? Check out Truth Not Trends with Liam and Jesse as they talk fitness and nutrition and have great interviews with doctors and authors and other trainers. Jesse and Liam have a combined 35 plus years of strength training to talk about and keep you motivated to be your best self. Also, the Be Brave podcast. Kara and Patty have amazing interviews with awesome women telling their stories about being brave in this crazy world and coming out on top. Listen to these wonderful stories and cheer and grow as we all live through them together. If you have a podcast idea but don't know what to do after you shout into a microphone, go to whatsoundsawesome.com. That is whatsoundsawesome.com. And that's where you can find We Mixed It LLC and connect with me, and I will help you get your show from your microphone to everyone's ears. Have a great week. See you next time. Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
See you in 30 years.
Welcome back, everybody. Minisode, where we most importantly, oos, tell me about your minisode, Scott.
Like minisode.
I like a minisode. Well, sometimes sodes are so long, but a minisode is really digestible. It's small. It's like a little morsel. It's like instead of having a chocolate bar, this is like a chocolate chip.
You can just tuck it in your cheek and walk around with it.
Yeah, it's not too much. It's just right. That's all.
Not a mouthful. Most importantly, this is where we figure out what we're going to watch next week, so you at home can play along. Watch the movie with us and be prepared for our conversation next week. What are we watching, Ari?
I did not do my homework. I've been studying other things.
What? Ari, are you in school right now?
Yeah.
Are you? Are you learning stuff? Are you trying to better yourself?
So that I can go into the future and save people from aliens with big teeth.
Oh, great. Good luck.
You are in the sciences. You are gonna save us.
Yeah. Her science knowledge is only going to get bigger and bigger.
I will only be able to save us in a Killer Tomatoes war of tomorrow because audio is my only weapon.
Yeah. I'll just be telling jokes to the aliens and they'll be firing white fangs into me ferociously.
Can you give me 1, 2, 3, or 4 options and I'll...
That's a good idea. Do you want to each... Should we each give 2 and then she can be the judge, jury, and executioner?
So I give 1 and you give 1, or we each give 2?
I was saying you give 2, I give 2, and she picks out a 4.
That sounds good. Should we...
Let's alternate.
Do you have...
Yeah, I got a few. Here's the thing. This one is not...
Could you have something to write on? I want to know if you have something to write on, because if we write down the same movie...
She does.
No, but she can't see it. You and I are going to write down 2 movies.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, you can't see this at home, but this is happening, and it's happening live, and it's very exciting.
It's very scientific.
If one of our movies is the same movie, then that we're just doing it. Well, no, I can't say that because Ari has full veto power.
Veto power. I have the power.
Okay, I've written them down.
Are you going to flash it to each other?
I kind of wanted to write a third one, but I'm not going to.
Do it, Scott. Do it. Do it.
Oh, God damn it.
Do it.
In the meantime, I would like to read a comment from one of our listeners. This is coming from Matt S. out of Portland, Oregon. He says, yeah, Ari, I know what you're talking about. Tesla's quote of, if you were to understand the power of 369, you would be able to understand the universe. So thanks to Matt.
So I think we're just going to do our next episode on that.
The last episode I talked about 369 and I gave a shout out to, if anyone knows what I'm talking about, hit me up.
Yeah,
and he did.
Awesome. That's right. And I also got in a conversation with somebody about the Seder square and how we talked about the letters that were in the Seder square, but I talked to someone about the numbers that are part of the Seder square that I did not do my research on and can't get into. But as the numbers man, we will be getting back to that.
And that was both from the podcast about Tenet.
Tenet.
Tenet. Did I say it wrong?
Tenet.
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 Tenet. I've been saying it wrong this whole time.
Yeah. Remember, because it's a backwards and forward. It's 10-10.
10-10 from the movie 10-10.
No, T-E-N-E-T.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, good. Catch us live at our comedy show this Friday at the Zim Zam Club at 8 o'clock.
What are those called? A palindrome?
Yes. It's so funny. I would like to say your mom is a palindrome, and that would be correct because your mom is a palindrome. Well, not the your part, but mom is.
Very nice. Oh, here we go. Here's a palindrome for you. Mr. Owl ate my metal worm.
Really?
Wow.
That's a long one.
Right. And Madam, I'm Adam is a shorter one.
Murder for a jar of red rum.
No.
Interesting. That's cool.
We're going to have a whole side podcast on this.
Oh, here's the best one ever. Oh, my God. Go hang a salami. I'm a lasagna dog.
Wait, what? Say that again?
Go hang a salami. I'm a lasagna hog.
Wow.
Wow.
Who comes up with these? That's impressive. I had to think about that.
Psychopaths. You ready, Scott?
Yeah. Are we just doing, let's do one at a time alternating?
No, we're just going to flip them.
Oh.
And then Ari's going to read them. We're going to see each other's. And then Ari's going to read them all out to the audience.
All right. Show me your goods, boys. Show me your goods.
No, no fixing, Scott. You ready? 3, 2, 1.
Can't read my hand.
Okay, he's got really bad handwriting. Okay, so Desmond says Prisoner of Azkaban, The Jacket, and Palm Springs. Scott's got State, what does that say?
Star Trek.
So Star Trek 4, The Jacket, and Synchronic. Hmm, you both wrote down The Jacket. Interesting.
You can go off script. You can go off script if you want to, Ari.
I'm going to narrow that down to 2. So I'm going to narrow it down to The Jacket and Synchronic. If you each could give me a quick synopsis of both of those movies, Desmond, if you could do The Jacket, and Scott, if you could do Synchronic, I would greatly appreciate a quick little preview of each of these movies before I make my decision. You know, it's only going
to
help.
I feel like we're like lawyers trying to...
Exactly. Tell me about Synchronic. I do want to hear about that because I might just throw mine out.
Well, it's got our good friend Anthony Mackie in it. This is a bit of a newer film. I believe it's on the old Netflix. 2019 sci-fi thriller, 1 hour, 42 minutes. Rotten Tomatoes, 79%. So, you know, we'll see. When New Orleans paramedics and longtime best friend Stephen Dennis are called to a series of bizarre and gruesome accidents, they chalk up to a mysterious new drug found on the scene. But after his oldest daughter disappears, Steve stumbles upon a terrifying truth about the supposed psychedelic that will challenge everything he knows about reality and the flow of time itself.
Ooh.
So it's a psychedelic drug, but that somehow changes something, your perception of time or time or something of that nature.
Cool. Okay.
That's called a synchronic?
Synchronic, yeah. Like synchronicity, but like, and the chronic.
I think I've seen that movie. Kelly and I might have watched that.
Did you like it?
I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't look amazing. It's just on the newer side. And I thought that was a little bit of a different take of going into like psychedelics meeting time travel.
Yeah, I think that's another one that I think I enjoyed it, but I knew that I needed a bigger conversation about it. Okay, quick and dirty. A Gulf War veteran. This is The Jacket. A Gulf War veteran is wrongly sentenced to a mental institution for insane criminals where he becomes the object of doctors' experiments and his life is completely affected by them.
Interesting. Okay.
Starring Tom Bleeker, starring Adrian Brody, Keira Knightley, and Daniel Craig.
Some people I like in that and some people I really don't like.
Wow, I did not realize that had real people in it.
Really? Yeah.
Real people.
Kris Kristofferson, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Brad Renfro.
So yeah, that one's I think a bit of a mind. I think like it's one of those where I think you're trying to find out if his timeline has been changed or if he's crazy.
Yeah.
It's got like a little bit of 12 Monkeys in it.
That's cool. Well, they both sound interesting.
They're both interesting. I think we've made some fine selection. It's funny, I brought up Star Trek 4 and it's nowhere near a Revolution in Time travel film. It's been knocking me in the back of my head. It's going, see me, see us save the whales.
I kind of like that being Scott's white whale, Ari. I think we should really, really string this out for him.
Oh, we'll get to it eventually.
White whale is a good pun for that one.
How about I think that's a good live episode. Everyone out there, if you want to see us live, come to the new parish and we'll do Star Trek.
All right.
We're not going to be inside. We're just going to be on the sidewalk talking about it, but you know, whatever.
The Honorable Ari Galah, you've heard both sides of the case. Both prosecutors have made their opening remarks.
Yeah, I've made a decision. Was that a drum roll?
That was the worst drum roll. It sounded like someone trying to practice rolling their Spanish R's.
Okay, let's do the movie formerly known currently as Synchronicity.
Synchronic. I love it.
Synchronic.
Well, I kind of like that because that means the jacket's kind of been my white whale for a while, just because it always comes up in lists, but I don't have any. I've never met anyone who's actually seen it.
We got to do it sooner or later then. Maybe. Yeah,
we'll do a Star Trek jacket banger. Okay. Now the real question, the big question is, when do we do it?
Well, this part's not going to be in the show, is it?
Oh,
they don't
yeah.
hear about
yeah.
us talking about our schedules.
That's right. Some of it's going to be
boring.
Some of it's going to be. We're not getting off. Well, let's just put it this way. I'm not hanging up on you guys until we at least have a tentative date. So
cool. That's a little bit less than 2 weeks. That's good. I'll be out of the way before the holidays.
For you at home, that's going to be next. So clear some space. Watch the Synchronic.
Wow.
Send in some questions to timepoppod@gmail.com. That's timepoppod@gmail.com. And this is going to come out mid-January.
You don't know what the future holds. You don't know.
Someone is going to come back from January and tell us how great this movie is. Maybe one of us.
By the time we listen to this in mid-January, who knows where we'll be then and what we'll be doing.
All right, here we go, Scott. I know we talked about it the last week. We're going to talk about it right now. The Tomorrow War, you got two polls 3 months apart, just jumping back and forth, just jumping ahead to get a three-month glimpse. Are y'all about that? Or is that not a...
Yes.
Yeah.
3 months?
3 months.
Why? That's nothing.
You'd be like, oh, here I am 3 months from now, and I'm just watching a future episode of Walking Dead instead of the newest one. Oh, 3 months. I'm still eating a turkey sandwich.
So let's see. That would be, you jump 3 months.
This is a really funny time travel movie where we all just jump 3 months and nothing exciting happens. We're like, Desmond, how was your travel? He's like, I went in the future and I was editing a podcast. What did you do? Ari went to school. I was taking my kids to school and eating a turkey sandwich. Wow.
So let's all take bets. What do you do on February 10th, 2022?
Cool.
It's a Thursday.
Working, kids.
It's a Thursday.
Probably worked a little bit. I probably ate a turkey sandwich.
So the future still has some secrets in store for us.
Wow. The future is not written. It's whatever you make it. So make it a good one. Doc Brown. It's in Back to the Future 3. They try to negate all of it at the end. He says, oh, he's like, the future hasn't been written. So it's whatever you make it. It's like, well, it kind of has been in most of these films, but okay.
All right. Thank you guys very much. We are gonna adjust your camera so I could see more of Ari. I heard her beautifully.
That's just her. She just should have leaned in more.
I know.
She's got space. No, she could totally lean in. I'm taking up half. I'm not a camera hog. All she needs to do is lean in. The camera does not need to be adjusted. She could just. Look, all she needs to do is put the seat over.
Well, you guys sound fantastic.
Yeah.
I love you guys very much. Yeah. And
feel good being back in the game, being back in the Time Pop game?
It feels so good. That's my co-host, baby! And I forgot, too, our other fan mail. Kelly McNeese says she thought it was great, and Chris Pratt was awesome, no matter what the internet says.
Desmond's mom says, I'm not a palindrome.
I'm going to see my mommy on Sunday.
Oh.
I'm going to go to Seattle and see my mommy.
Yeah. She's a palindrome.
Yay. All right. You guys have a great night. Sweet dreams. And I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.